Hello and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support. Matilda Smith Thompson, Shannon Quinton, Lydia Kikuchi, Stacey Corrigan, Elvira Dubas, Candy Gleason, Angie Zadava, Megan Eichner, Cheyenne Hampton, Kelly Milkey, Alicia Olin, Rachel Boren, Stephanie Carnes, Whitney Griggs, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv podcast, Katie Bollinger, Julia Jin, Julia Monin, David Webb, Jill Stellman, Rebecca Frederick, Peyton England, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Brian S., Stacy Keller, Bobby Young, Whitney, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Matt Mercier, Teresa Trapp, Jeannie Schneider, Spunky Cheek, Max Duration, Dana Wilkins, Laura Furman, Valerie Williams, Annie Quinn, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Ginny Comer, Daddy Cashin, Aaron Wortman, Liz Serha, Don Roberts, Rebecca Harris, Michelle Plug, Suzanne Holland, Melissa Gilbert, Dean Butler, Sherry Benner, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Susan King, Jeff Griffin, and Megan Parker. Thank you all for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/WalnutGrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove was a place to be. If you're living in 1863. Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Walnut Grovecast. I'm about to say my name is Mark. I am on with Kelly Milkey. How are you, Kelly?
Having me back?
What? We're already having an issue. How are you doing, Kelly? How's everything?
Well, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, 100%. This is awesome. This is a legendary episode we're jumping on, isn't it?
Totally, yes. Very memorable.
Do you want to talk about the episode and when it was first aired and all that kind of good stuff?
Absolutely. So we're talking about The Rivals, which is from season 4, episode 14. And it first aired on January 9th, 1978.
Yeah, so this is like right after the Christmas season and we're outside playing baseball. We're just whooping it up.
Right. Yes.
This, I think that this might have been cuter. I need to look at the timeline here. But would this not have been a better episode for Valentine's Day?
Let's see. Yeah, it actually would have. Why didn't they do that? What did they do after this? Looking. They should have just.
We had the Inheritance on February 6th, and we had The Stranger on the 20th of February. For whatever reason, it was they skipped a week. The 13th, for some reason, was, I guess, a rerun. And that would have been the day before that would have been the day before Valentine's Day. This would have been perfect for the day before Valentine's Day.
A rerun on January 9th, and then show this on the February 13th.
Yeah. Crazy. I don't know. Crazy stuff. But nonetheless, we have The Rivals, which has two kind of plots going on. We have Jonathan Garvey and Charles coming up with, they're kind of like Ralph Cramdening it. They're coming up with a scheme, a business scheme. And we have a Laura coming of age story. I think they could have pushed it a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah, I think it could have been a little bit more emotional, maybe. I didn't feel as though, I felt as though it was about time. I think that this is a perfect time. Melissa Gilbert, I think, is 14 in this? 13 or 14?
All right. Yeah.
So it's about time that we are stepping into this. But, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to start with the first observation, which is we all know Laura as the tomboy. And I think if you were to say who's the biggest tomboy of the Little House, everyone would point at Laura. That would include Nellie, right? So here's our first clip of them. I'm sorry, go on.
Until she's the biggest tomboy.
Yeah, for the moment.
You can do it.
Tomboy your sister is.
Well, that's Laura.
Come on!
And that's Laura.
I just love that response. Like, it's just like, what do you want me to say? Like, she is who she is.
Yeah, and I think it's a good message. You know, she is who she is. And we have a young man. What's his name? Tom?
It's Jimmy, isn't
Jimmy?
It?
I forget. Tom the turkey. So Jimmy and her are like, walking, and they're kind of, like, they're a little cringed that all the boys are kind of flocking to Mary. Do you want to talk about that a little bit, or I can just play the clip.
Okay.
Look at that fella, mooning and spooning over.
Yeah, mush.
Real yucky.
How about going frogging later on?
Sure, I'll meet you at the pond.
All right.
So, you know, some people have different types of romance, right?
Yeah.
It's not always about, storybook romance. Sometimes it's about frogging.
Yeah, sometimes all you gotta do is frog. But I guess maybe because their plans changed because they decided to go frogging, so then they parted ways to meet at the pond. But right before they're walking away, he asks if he can walk her home. But then they part ways and they're like still in town. I'm like, you didn't walk her home. Like,
yeah.
What?
Well, you do what you can.
And then you're like,
it's a small town. You try to make your move when you can, I guess. It's
home.
Yeah. I thought it was cute also that they, even though the boys are flocking to Mary, that they're still making plans together. You know, it's kind of like, well, what do you think you guys are doing? And they don't even notice it, really. It's kind of like, you know, my son has a friend who's a girl, but she's not a girlfriend, you know. But if you were to write it down on paper, what do you think you're doing right now? You know, it's like, we just don't cross the line.
Well, that's kind of like the relationship that Laura ends up developing with Andrew Garvey, where they're like totally best friends, but there's never any.
Yeah, it's a total platonic relationship. I would say Andy and Laura have a similar relationship that even Albert and her have. It seems to be kind of a similar kinship. Like, they would never in a million years ever cross that line.
Blood brothers, as we learn.
Yeah.
At the end of the story.
Yes. So we get to a wagon that's being rebuilt, right? There, we have Jonathan Garvey and Pa. So I'll just kind of get to it. It reminded me of a little bit of a I have to do everything the hard way type of message that we sometimes get on Little House on the Prairie. It's like, why buy new when I can just rebuild it?
Yeah. It's the Ingalls way.
Yeah.
Get it.
Charles, why did you rent the wagon if you have to rebuild the whole thing?
We're not rebuilding it, Carolyn. We're just tuning it up to a fine pitch. Horton Hall, we mean to win it. Right, partner?
I know you have your heart set on winning, but...
Don't worry. We're not going to be disappointed, but it's worth a try. Besides, still this busted foot of mine heals. I'd just soon be sitting on a wagon wrestling a team and trying to hobble behind a plow.
Now, we have a busted foot throughout this episode that I think the entire timeline of this episode goes on for at least 2 months. So I don't know. Do you know if Michael Landon had a real broken foot?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I wanted to mention, that he actually injured his foot in real life. So then they incorporated it into the plot of the show because they didn't want to disrupt their filming schedule. So they just made it part of the show. I don't know what he did to his foot. I mean, how he injured it. But that was actually a real injury. So of course, in real life, it's going to be injured the whole time. But it is, yeah, it doesn't improve with the timeline of the episode. You're right.
We should have had a moment where Pa was in the wheelchair being pushed down the hill.
Or Pa could have been, oh, my foot's chilling. What's going on?
Exactly. He used to cut it off.
Yes.
Like, you know, it could have been like one of those kind of things where he's all of a sudden in a ton of different Little House on the Prairie scenarios because of his foot. Like he's stuck down a stuck down a mine shaft air vent.
Like he's kind of hopping, so he trips and like boom down the mine shaft.
Yeah, and all types of things. His foot stuck on a train track. Didn't that happen? Did that happen at all? I'm trying to think. Or am I thinking of a thousand other TV shows and movies?
Right. They do this a lot, but I don't recall it ever being in Little House. There's a lot of weight thing, which is, I don't know, maybe more scary, I guess, depending on how you look at it.
They're going on and on about this competition, that they're going to have a race to a small city named Slippy Eye. Slippy Eye.
That's funny.
Jonathan, there's a paddle in that bucket.
Yeah, so there is.
I was wondering.
No, what is a paddle? What is that?
I have no idea.
There is a
paddle. Is that what she calls it, a paddle?
It sounds like she says, there's a paddle in that bucket. It's kind of like, you know, Jonathan, there's a roll of toilet paper you could use. I don't know. I don't know what that is, but it has something to do with how filthy he is. But I'm just going to play it back a little bit.
When Ma does laundry, doesn't she, like, stir it with a paddle? Don't we see her doing that sometimes? Or is that churning butter? I don't know. She does a lot of stuff in a bucket outside.
Well, apparently she's a pie in the oven right now. I'm just going to try to listen to that a little bit closer. I'm going to make it a little bit louder.
Plow.
Okay.
Jonathan, there's a paddle in that bucket.
Yeah,
so there is.
I was wondering why you don't use it.
Well, I can use these better. Besides, if I'm not getting dirty, I don't feel like I'm really working.
In that case, the way you look, you must be plumb exhausted.
It's like, Caroline, you're a woman. Please don't talk to me.
Well, I do kind of like this scene in that there's some nice, like, lighthearted banter. Even Caroline, she's sort of like a downer at first, but she kind of gets a little bit more jocular as it goes on.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to see just, like, lighthearted joking between the adults, because a lot of times on the show, the adult-centered plots are tragic.
Also, and, like, sometimes dramatic. when they rib each other, I find there'll always be somebody who'll go, oh my god, I can't believe you said that, instead of just saying,
yeah,
just actually going along with the joke and it being funny. And that's one of those situations. This is much more of a modern adult conversation of kind of ribbing each other, I thought.
Yeah, totally.
And of course Ma has to break away from it and do more adulting, I guess.
Just thinking about his wife. She must get exhausted trying to get those clothes clean.
You know, that's exactly what she said.
Well, I'll leave you men to your labors. I've got a pie to look after.
Right, darling.
Pie to look at? What's it doing? I'm just kidding. No, I forget what episode it was, but we were talking about this box that they had in their fireplace where they would use it as kind of an oven.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it just looks like a tin box, but I don't have a fireplace. I don't know if you have a fireplace, but I always thought, what a cool thing. Well, I didn't always, when I saw this, I thought, how cool would it be to make a pie in your oven?
Right. It would, like, smell great too.
Oh yeah. Come on.
The fire relaxing, smells awesome.
Well, the first one I'd burn. There's no doubt about it. The bottom would be black. I have to take the butter knife and cut it off and go, it's fine. Just eat it.
Yeah.
I don't want to eat it. It's gross.
Charcoal's good for you.
Yeah, it's fine. It's totally natural. So they're going on and talking about this race.
Charles, about this freighting contest. You know any more about the way they're going to be running it?
Well, no more than I told you. Two teams, two wagons, same load. First one to Mankato gets a freighting contract and top money.
Top men, top money? That sounds like us, don't it?
Yeah, if you get the wheel on a wagon.
Now, it's a little bit of ribbon. You know, I like this relationship that they have. You pointed out in your notes how, do you want me to play it through where he's like, come here and give your old Jonathan a big smacker?
Please do.
Yeah. But I am going to stop it to just kind of point out that there's a dad joke coming. The ultimate dad joke coming.
Hi, Pa.
Hey, darling. How's school?
Great.
How about a kiss for your old friend Jonathan?
Now, I warn you, Mr. Garvey, if you get any grease on me, Ma will skin you alive.
It's a deal.
So, you know, that's another thing. She's 14 years old. Keep away from my daughter.
I think it's so weird. It's really a weird thing for him to say. It seems out of character because we don't really have him saying stuff like that in other episodes. And I kind of feel like they did it just to throw in another comment about his dirty clothes, because then Laura says a thing about getting grease on her.
Yeah.
So it's like it went from their lighthearted ribbing, which was fun and kind of like a nice, it was nice to watch their relationship in a lighthearted way. But then it was like they took the joke a little too far, and now it's just like a little weird.
Now, if this was Isaiah, I think that it would have been totally acceptable and we wouldn't even be questioning it. Isaiah is always dirty. It's like kind of a running joke how dirty he is.
Yeah.
And he has that relationship with Laura. So, but either way, it's Jonathan. I mean, he's Jonathan. But I just thought it was, like you said, a little bit out of character. Now, here's the ultimate dad joke coming.
Pa, can I go frogging after I do my chores?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I'd like some frog legs.
It wouldn't look good on you, Charles.
So, and Laura does the sympathy laugh.
Go on.
Yeah. Go on. What are you, 80? So, I just thought it was just funny. I'm surprised they didn't try to introduce some type of foot joke in that one.
Yeah.
Trying to see if you can get the feet for your limping paw. Something stupid like that. Either way, we're really kind of picking on the writers at this point. So they go frogging. What are your thoughts on frog legs? Have you ever had them?
I haven't, no.
Really? I've had them a number of times, and they're good. I never made them. If you're somebody who's kind of sensitive to these type of things, I don't recommend that you go on YouTube and look up frog leg and lemon juice.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah. It's one of these things where they take raw, frog legs and then they pour lemon juice on it, and the, high acid makes the muscles twitch. So it's kind of like gross.
Ugh.
I mean, it's dead. You know, the legs are chopped off, but to see that moving is a little bit, it tastes just like little chicken legs. It's not.
I was just going to ask if it tastes like chicken, because I've never had it, but I imagine maybe it does. I've had alligator a number of times, which really tastes a lot like chicken.
But you know, maybe. But to be able to put on your list that you've had alligator, you know, that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we live in South Carolina. It's like in restaurants here.
Yeah. But in Nathan's used to have frog legs in a place called Arthur Treacher's. I don't know if that's made its way out of New York. Maybe it has. Maybe it's not. I don't even know if they're still around. But, you know, they have like kind of a southern twist of things like hush puppies and stuff like that. But yeah, that's where I first had frog legs when I was little. I don't know. Yeah, they're like chicken, like most things. You cover it in a batter and you fry it and it really tastes like the batter.
Yeah, it does.
So they go frogging. Jimmy, even though I'm calling him Tom, Jimmy and Laura go frogging. They kind of, it's all visual, really. But yes. Laura sees I forget what she refers to the frog as, like the big frog. Do you remember?
I don't.
I'm going to go back. I want to hear what she has to say about it. She notices a frog.
Frogs. I know. There's the granddaddy of all frogs. I'll get him.
And she's kind of, they're at a creek, and it's actually a really nice, like, this is like a really cool little spot. I feel like we've seen it before, but not from this angle.
Yeah.
And it has to be man-made, I'm assuming, right? I mean, this isn't like a naturally occurring creek in Simi Valley.
I wouldn't think so.
With the tumbleweed in the background.
Like, yeah, right, they're like in a desert.
They are. They're literally in a desert. But she's walking by a tree that is huge. I mean, that's another thing. The trunk of this tree must be 30 inches in diameter. So
yeah,
it's really, the area has to have had some amount of growth for a long period of time. But anyway. She's inching towards the frog. And she falls in the creek. Her knight in shining armor, which she really never noticed as much more than a boy with a perfect part and a perfect haircut.
Well, and he's another blonde boy. In that last episode that we recorded, we were discussing the many blonde, shaggy-haired boys that appear on the show. So here's another one.
I mean, only a blonde boy is going to make Laura act the way that she acts in the next several minutes.
It's her type. It's her type. Oh, totally.
I mean, yeah, tall, blonde, and handsome, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Here, grab on!
Oh! Now, she intentionally pulled him in. And this is just getting flirty at this point.
It totally looks like that, yeah.
Yeah. It's all visual at this point, but we do have a little bit of a moment where they get closer than they've ever gotten before. And Laura just kind of catches the moment and leans in for the action. And here's exactly the thing that every girl might want to hear at this point.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You look kind of dizzy to me. Bumped your head maybe when you fell in?
I gotta get home.
It wasn't my fault you fell in.
You pulled me in.
Surprised you didn't punch her. Now we're hobbling into the house. I'm like, what happened to this guy?
I know. I should try to figure out what exactly happened to his foot.
You know, I have to wonder. I mean, this is like in the movie Misery type of level limping. This is something bad happened to his foot. They could have added something to the story. I think would have been
totally.
Would have been appropriate on some level. But old man Pa hurt his foot. He's even complaining about it. It's all he talks about now. And there is more soot. If you look in this scene, it's about 6 minutes and 41 seconds in. There is so much soot on the mantle. It is nasty. You got to sand that down or something.
Yeah, it's really, it's interesting to watch the progression of the fireplace from the beginning of the series when it's totally like brand new and clean. And then we get to this point in the series and it's, looks like that, and then later on it's like pretty much black everywhere.
Now I did have a theory that they replaced the mantle at some point, right? But so far it's the same mantle. I'm looking at the same exact knot of wood, unless they matched it somehow, which I don't really see them doing that. But I'm assuming that from the amount of soot that I see on the mantle, they really use this.
I think they did. The mantle, actually, in Walnut Grove at the museum, at the site there, they have the mantle that they use on the show.
Supposedly. So, no, I'm kidding.
Well, that's what they say. And it is like the soot-covered, you know, like looks like they really were using it, so...
Yeah, one of my ideas, and this is like another one of these like Patreon things, and I want to thank you also for supporting the podcast on Patreon. And actually, there are a lot of people getting these gifts I sent out. Yours should be there. Wait, you're not at home, right?
I'm not at home currently. I'm still in Sleepy Eye.
Well, you'll have a package when you get back. And yes, if you're listening to this podcast, she just said she's in Sleepy Eye.
Yeah.
which is again only
straight from Sleepy Eye.
Only 45 minutes from Walnut Grove.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very close. I have also, as a side note, for anybody wondering who's never been in the area, and their basis of the area is from Little House on the Prairie, it is not accurate. Later in the show, when we see them going between Walnut Grove and Sleepy Eye, that there are those mountains in the background. There are no mountains.
That there, makes sense. It's a prairie,
there are not
after
even
all.
Hills. Yeah, it's totally, like, totally flat. Like, the whole drive between Sleepy Eye and Walnut Grove is, like, 100% flat. Like, not a bump in the land.
It's like you could put a marble down and it just sits there.
Yeah, 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 you really could.
But, yeah, I mean, it is... It is a prairie after all, so it's...
Yes.
But one of the ideas I have, and I'm always coming up with different ideas because I'm Mr. Hobby Guy, so I'm constantly working on my laser etching skills and laser cutting stuff, but I'm also, for years I've worked on 3D printing. So one of the things I've been wanting to create is the mantle and print them in 3D, like in resin. So it's one of those things that eventually I'll get around to doing and send
to
people.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
I don't know what people would do with it. Maybe you slap a magnet on the back and you have a little mantle on your fridge. I'm not sure. But, yeah, right? It's not the worst idea. I would have to also, I guess, render the little lady on the top. I forget what she calls that, the mantle.
A little, like, what is that called? It's like a little... I don't know. She kind of looks like Bo Peep with the sheep or whatever. But,
yeah, they sell a reproduction of it at the Laura Ingalls Wilder Museum in Walnut Grove, which you can go pick up right now in 45 minutes if you'd like.
I could. Actually, I don't know if they're open or not. I was there over, like, earlier this year when we were here over the summer, and I actually haven't checked if they're open or not because a lot of stuff has shut down again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, restaurants and all that are, like, totally closed or just takeout again or whatever. But yeah. And when we were there over the summer, some of the stuff at the site was closed, but, like, the gift shop and the main museum were open.
Yeah.
But I haven't looked because, like, stores are still able to be open. So I'm not really sure, like, where museums fall in the continuum between, like, restaurant and stores. Like, if they're able
yeah,
to
everything
be open
is limited, but the people who run the museum there are just wonderful. They were kind enough to speak with me about what they do on a day-to-day basis. This is a few months before the whole lockdown kind of came.
Yeah.
So it's another one of those things. I want to reach out to them and touch base with them and just see what they're doing. And they're constantly doing things. I mean, they are constantly restoring things. They're constantly getting things that are new from either the TV show or the actual the family of the Ingalls or the Wilders.
Mm-hmm.
So it, mm-hmm. I love the fact that there are people out there who are constantly working on a legacy. I think maybe that's kind of what this podcast also does a little bit. It kind of carries along the whole legacy of the Laura Ingalls Wilder thing. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And Opus. The place is definitely worth a visit. Anybody who is in the area or is, you know, wondering if it's worth it to go, it definitely is. There's a lot of, I think they do a really good job at, you know, paying homage to both, you know, like you said, the actual history of the family as well as the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of really cool artifacts and everything. It's really, really well done and put together really well.
Yeah. And they seem so respectful of it. So, yeah, definitely. It's one of those things also. I think they have an online store, so maybe I'll visit that and go check it out and see what they sell things like slates and, like I said, the reproduction of that, like, Bo Peep type of character. I'm sure there's a name for it, and people are, like, going to send me an email. Dear Mark, have you even seen the show? No, I never saw the show. What show? Father Murphy? Tell me more about what you know that I don't. All right. I love those emails.
Oh, I'm sure that they're very entertaining.
I was going to make a whole show about it, about all the kind of grumpy emails that I get, but then I got depressed about it. So I'm like, ugh, just angry people. All right.
We could have an episode that's sort of geared like it's like a roast of you.
You know what?
You could have.
I can just open my email and have it auto read. It'll be a roast of me. It's like.
You could have like a round table of people taking turns reading the emails like it's a roast at you.
If we can get Alice and Arngrim to read them, I would appreciate it. That would be She probably would do that too. Just to make me cry. So, and that's another thing, Alison Arngrim, I talked about this in the past. She had a comedy album back in the 70s where she plays Jimmy Carter's daughter. I can't remember her first name. And it's like a total parody album. And it's just so funny if you're into 70s politics, which I am. So it's one of those things, if you wanted to look back and it's like, wow, like she was really ahead of the game on a lot of things. But all right, let's bring it back to 1878 here in The Rivals. Pa's sitting around talking about his foot.
I'll just play the clip. How you count it? That's a week.
And if you get the contract?
Well, this is where it first comes up. We're talking about, I'm going to go back just 10 seconds, where Pa's talking about getting this contract and how it's going to take up a lot of his time. And it's also going to add a lot of financial security to the Ingalls family. I'm not really sure who's going to tend to the farm while this is all going on, but.
Well, now that you bring it up, when does Charles even have time to tend to the farm anyway? Because he's always working at the mill all day.
He's an incredible man.
Do it all at night.
Got a broken foot and he's starting a business.
I mean, he's always talking about how he's just a dumb farmer and stuff, but we see him actually engaged in very little actual farming.
But we see it from time to time.
We do, yeah. And there are episodes centered around crops and, like, you know, failure of crops and stuff.
He's always sweaty and happy, though, when he's farming.
True.
2 days.
When are you leaving, Pa?
Oh, tomorrow morning, first light down.
How long will you and Jonathan be going?
This first trip, at least a week.
That's too long, Pa.
Well, I know it is, but it's a day to Sleepy Eye, 3 days to Mankato, and 3 days back.
What? What is that? We should do the math on that. What, like, how many miles per hour is that? If you're traveling at, 10 hours a day, I mean, we're talking 40 miles, right? We're not talking, but there were no roads, which is another thing that will come up.
I mean,
there were paths.
Sort of there are roads, but sort of not, yeah.
All right, well, we'll do the math in the future.
How you count it, that's a week.
And if you get the contract?
I will be on the road a lot longer than that.
Our bills are paid? How about that? And you don't have to, bring eggs into the Olsons. And you'll have a new oven that costs more than $7.87.
Treat yourself to a new dress.
Caroline.
I miss you, Pa.
Treat yourself.
I'll miss you too, darling. Man's got to do what's best for his family, though, doesn't he? Right now, this man's got to pack.
Oh, Charles.
No, I can do it.
Thanks.
Limp.
Mom, I don't want Pa to go away.
Tell him. Like, I don't understand what you're telling me for. Go spend time with him. Go help him back.
Enjoy him while he's here.
By the way, if you look in the background, you do see that $7.87 oven. What would you call that?
It's a stove, right?
Yeah, a stove. Yeah.
Yeah.
None of us do, Carrie. Including your father. But let's not make it any harder for him than it is, all right?
Oh, my God.
And this is a great response. Oh, my God.
What happened to you?
I fell in the pond.
Well, I can see that.
Look at you. Did you catch any frogs?
What frogs?
You told me you're going frogging.
Oh, we didn't catch any.
Are you high? You know, that would be my first question. Like, let me smell you. Check her tin bucket. That's what I would do.
Well, I know what you are going to catch if you don't get out of these wet clothes. Mary, will you put some hot water on?
Yeah.
What was that? I'm going to make it really hot. Stinky Laura.
Mary is kind of weird in this episode.
Oh my God. She's such an egomaniac, like a total narcissist. Yeah. Like, well, we'll get to it, but
yeah.
Oh my God. So yeah, Laura's got puppy love. Can we call it puppy love at 14? I don't know.
Oh, it's,
she's smitten.
Is it an age thing or is it like that it's like your first time feeling that way? Cause this is the first time she's feeling that way.
Yeah. And, I agree. But, you know, she's, I guess, smitten with this boy that she's never seen before, really, in the way that she's seeing.
That buddy, you all right?
I'm fine. Just fine.
Catch a head cold.
It's like, you high? So, Pa goes over to Mary, and Mary basically points out Pa's worst nightmare. His little tomboy is growing up.
All right, so. Yeah.
Sister, you're distracting funny.
Yeah, well, maybe she found something a little more interesting than frogs.
What's more interesting than that?
So we also get, I guess, a coming of age Mary a little bit more. Like, she's never acted this way so openly.
Yeah, it seems like just out of nowhere, suddenly she's acting like an adult.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, I guess she also kind of had a few things happen where she's really grown up. But we do get reminded that Laura is just a little girl because she still bathes right in front of her sister in a bucket.
I know. Yeah, I know. At the age of 14 or whatever, that seems a little...
Also, what is that, 20 gallons of water? How did they heat that?
And how many times did she have to haul the bucket there? Like, it must have taken her 3 hours to fill this tub.
Yeah, well, it is nighttime. It's like, you're dried off and warmed up already. Just give her a blanket, I guess. Stand by the fire.
Yeah, well, no wonder they didn't bathe that often, right? It was like an all-day affair.
Well, you know, they had a lot of toilet water, which we'll get into as well.
Oh, the toilet.
The toilet? So we get Mary talking about how wonderful she is.
I know. There's
an innocence here, but there's also kind of like it's a strange thing. I would say that a lot of girls at this age kind of have this happening. It's like, well, why do I have attention? You know, there's a certain naivete that is here, but it just seems to be not really. It seems more intentional, more deliberate. Sorry, what?
I was going to say, it's kind of like a two-way thing, like kind of being naive about it, where it's like, she's kind of like, oh, I don't know why I get the attention. Yeah. But then like people who aren't getting the attention, they're like, what's going on? How come it's not me? Like,
yeah, it's a strange one. But I think this is also a very legitimate thing that mostly girls go through. Even my son has these kind of questions where he's like, wow, these girls are really changing. Well, he had a little girlfriend last year, and now she's like, 6 inches taller than him. It's like bizarre.
Yeah, that happens.
And she, very sweet girl, like they're all like in the same kind of nerdy classes. I'm just gonna call my kid a nerd. He's a nerd. But she's definitely become a little bit more geeky, and it's just kind of showing in the sense where I guess when you grow 6 or 7 inches in a matter of a few months, you can't help but kind of not be used to it, you know? And she's, you know, it's just, they're 12, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. I don't remember what I went through with all of this stuff, but I'm sure it was just an extremely confusing time. And
and
then there's some girls in his class, which it's like, they look like they're like 20. So it's bizarre.
Yeah.
And the way the parents, like, allow some people to dress. I think my lucky stars that I had a boy. And that's not to say I have any issue with girls. I just feel as though there's more to worry about. That's all. All right. Something Pa would say, right? But he is all girls.
He's buzzing around here like flies around the stable.
Oh, wait. I'm just going to play that. I just think it's funny how they refer to the boys buzzing around her.
Mary?
Yeah. Here.
Mary! It's like, so, Mary, let me ask you a question, Mary.
How come boys are always buzzing around you like flies around a stable?
That's an awful way to put it.
Okay. How about, like, bees around a beautiful rose?
At least that sounds better.
Well?
I don't know.
boys just... They just seem to like me. I don't do anything.
You don't do anything?
Jeez.
You know, we've heard this before from a very tragic episode with Sylvia. Where, you know, Sylvia would get the attention of the boys not doing anything. So,
right.
And I think it is a legitimate thing. I mean, Mary can't help be this, like, you know, pretty blonde and be kind of prissy. I mean, Nellie is in the same camp in the sense of being a pretty blonde, but she's kind of, her attitude makes her come down a few steps.
Cancels out.
Yeah, it does. It's like, well, you're not really worth being around. Mary's smart and sweet. Like vanilla. All right.
I sure do.
You know, it's a funny thing. The more I seem to ignore a boy, the more attention he seems to pay me.
How many boys have you kissed?
None of your business.
Too many to count. Oh, Mary. And she's got this grin of like, wouldn't you like to know? It's like, tell your sister.
Yeah, I know.
Give your sister some advice. Don't tell her to just turn your back on these people and play hard to get. But I just thought that was kind of a strange thing. It's like, the more I reject, the more they like. Strange.
Yeah, it is strange. Although I feel like it's kind of a trope. I've seen this in other TV shows too, where it's like, how do I get this person to like me? It's like, you need to ignore them.
Yeah, reject them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Seinfeld episode that would backfire.
It does, yes. It would be like a George plot, probably.
Yeah.
I know you've kissed at least one, John Jr., because you were engaged to him.
Ouch. Burn. Whatever happened with John Jr., Rodimus? If Rodimus is listening, call in.
Mary, what was it like, kissing? I mean, what did it feel like?
Well, what do you care? I thought you always said kissing was yucky.
Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah, don't give any advice. Just
I would like to point out, actually, it just occurred to me, an almost identical type of conversation that takes place in the last season between the Carter boys, when the younger one was interested in that one little girl and was asking the older one, was Jeb and Jason, right? Mm-hmm. Jason was asking Jeb about, like, how many girls have you kissed?
Yeah, like, this is a plot line that they revisit.
Yeah. Yep. They're like, well, we have a new family, but it's the same house, so we might as well just reuse the plot.
Go back to season two. Or was it season four?
Season four.
So we get a dream sequence of Laura running through with Jason with his lamb chops on the side of his face.
It's so weird.
He looks like a Civil War reenactor or something.
He does. He totally does. I was thinking, even like with the suit that he's wearing and the lamb chops, I'm like, are they going for some sort of like Gone with the Wind? Like, you know, and when what she's wearing, like, yeah, it looks like they're on like some plantation in the South or something. It's just such a weird.
Definitely weird. And the fact that he has lamb chops, it's so funny. Like, he's like 13. What do you have lamb chops?
Well, and then that's like her like idealized vision of him because she has a crush on him. Like, her idealized vision is these like ridiculous lamb chops.
Well, she wakes up the next day and she's ready to be a new Laura, I think.
Laura, you better hurry. You're going to be late for school.
Won't take a minute.
What about your hair?
Well, I've decided I need to change. I'm going to leave it down.
It'll be the first time you haven't worn braids to school.
Well, there's always a first time, Ma. Besides, I'm growing up. I think I'm getting a little too old for braids. Ma?
And this is maybe one of the very first times we're even seeing a Laura with her hair down outside of the loft.
Outside of the loft or, like, special occasions, like when they have,
Even
you know, when they go to like those town gatherings, she often has it sort of down or like halfway down with the bow in it or whatever.
Does she wear braids to church?
She does. Yeah. Right. Cause when she was a little girl, when they go to church, she has the braids, but they're like doubled under. So it's like a little like braid loop. But then I think that's only when she's really little, like maybe the first season or two. And then I think she just has regular braids at church.
Well, think about it. She got her, you know, weekly bath yesterday. She washed her hair, and now she's ready to show the world.
Gotta take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Can I wear my good pinafore and my Sunday ribbons?
What's the special occasion?
No, nothing. I just want to look nice today.
All right. But be careful not to get it dirty.
I'll be careful. Do you think I'm pretty?
Of course you're pretty.
Pretty as Mary?
Mary is Mary, and you are you.
In other words, no. You're not as pretty as Mary. But you're as pretty as Carrie.
Prettier, even.
Prettier than Carrie. But no, it's the right answer, but it's also easy fodder to attack.
And I think you're both beautiful.
Thanks, Mom. Now hurry up, beautiful.
So Ma sees her daughters growing up. Oh, boy. Ma's in acceptance of it, though. I guess, you know, she, of course, went through it. So,
well, she always was much more, like, supportive and encouraging. Not to say that Pa's not supportive, but he's more just has trouble coping with it, right. And you can tell.
Like, I would think any father would mm-hmm. not want their half pint to grow up.
I mean, can we just agree, though, that she does stick with the braids for a little bit too long.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
I should go back and see when the braids finally come to an end. Like, when is the last time that the pigtails go away?
I believe that they go away when she starts teaching, because when she gets her first teaching job, well, it's kind of weird. So when she gets her first teaching job, she has it like up, like Ma teaches her how to put it up like in a bun. Mm-hmm. And then after that, when she's like the early like courtship days with Almanzo, she does wear it down.
And she does, when she first meets Almanzo, she has them in, I think.
She does, yeah, because she doesn't stop wearing the braids until she's teaching. So she has almost like a whole season with him in town where she still is wearing braids.
And never pigtail, like never like without braids. Like she'll never just put them up.
Yeah.
Like it's always braided.
I suppose since they don't bathe that often, keeping the hair braided would be a way to keep it kind of cleaner, you know, because it's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Although Mary doesn't ever wear the braids, so maybe that's not a viable excuse. I don't know.
Mary bathes more, maybe. So we have, let's see, where are we? We get a very cringy scene, which is all visual, where Laura is practicing kissing in the mirror and gets busted by Mary. Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm just cleaning the mirror.
Yeah, I'm polishing the mirror. It's the problem. So it would have been fun. I don't think she really caught her so much. It would have been, I guess, you know what? There's so many cringe moments coming that maybe it's good that she didn't catch her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we go. Little conversation with Mary. Oh, no. A little conversation between Jason and
Jimmy.
Tom. and Laura. They're having their little moment. Now, right before here, is this the perfume scene? No.
Yes.
Yeah,
no,
this is.
No, wait. No, actually, I don't think
let's
it
find,
is.
I'm just going to play the clip and we'll see.
Are you still mad at me?
Of course not. How could I be mad at you?
It's not the perfume scene.
Notice anything different about me today?
Nope. You look like the same old Laura Ingalls to me.
My hair.
Yeah. You better cut some of that mop off before it gets in your way of playing baseball and stuff.
Hi. Oh, I'm starting school today. Name's Samantha Higgins. Call me Sam for short.
Nothing quite like a girl who gives you a shove when she introduces herself to you.
Man, everything about this girl, it just is so exaggerated and very, I mean, she's definitely the most tomboyish figure that's ever on the show. And of course, she's only in the one episode, because you'd definitely notice if there was a girl wearing pants in school after this episode, right?
She's like a big version of Punky Brewster. That's what she looks like with the overalls and everything. Just...
Yeah.
What's your name, fella?
Jimmy Hill.
Want to toss a few before school starts?
Sure.
Also, a girl who wears pants.
I know. I was thinking that, too. It's like, this almost seems like it's a little too far. Like, I can't really imagine a girl wearing pants during that time period to school, and, like, people aren't just totally making fun of her or anything like that. It seems unrealistic.
Is it realistic to call Sam really Laura 2.0?
Laura on steroids.
She's like the bigger, better version. She wears pants. She's got the braids. You know, she has the brown hair with braids. And she's, you know, towering over Tom.
She's apparently an all-star at baseball.
I mean, well, you know, for the moment. But
come on, Laura.
Yeah, come on, Laura.
I can't.
Suit yourself.
Suck!
Where are you from?
Just moved here from Mankato.
Oh, I know where that is.
You know what they say about girls from Mankato? I don't know. Now, you have a history of Mankato as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I went to college there. My husband and I both did, actually, and that's where we met.
Well, certainly love is sparked in Mankato. It should be the title of your book. Love in Mankato. Yeah.
Or maybe they have to, like, work in, like, the little house. Like, love in Mankato.
Yeah.
My little house infused life. We got the Mankato. We got the sleepy eye. Yeah.
Now, we get to Charles and Jonathan, who are on their way to Sleepy Eye. I think it's Sleepy Eye, right? And Jonathan's sleeping in a wagon, sitting up. It's not... just doesn't look healthy at all. Doesn't look comfortable at all.
No.
And you have the guy with the broken foot riding the wagon, which I don't know. I mean, the brake is a handbrake, so I guess it shouldn't be a big deal. But they notice that the people that they're racing are off in the distance, and they're a good, I don't know, 200 yards ahead of them, which I imagine is a tremendous lead. So, they discuss that a little bit. Jonathan, of course, being a big man baby that he is, calls them cheaters.
Mm-hmm. They cheated us.
No, they didn't cheat us. They just outfoxed us. That's all. I didn't figure they'd pull a big freight wagon like this off the main road.
I should have known. They probably know every goat trail and cow path in this whole territory.
Nothing we can do about it now. Just sit back and enjoy the ride.
A real Ralph Cramden moment right there. You think it's all going up in smoke.
Yeah. This is the scene, by the way, where I was talking about where you see, like, those kind of mountains or, like, foothills in the background.
Oh, yeah. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, that's, like, Arizona or something. Well, no, it's probably Simi Valley.
Yeah, I know.
That's why it's called a
valley.
Where
they're filming, of course. But, yeah.
But, yeah, like, I guess foothills just aren't – they're not around.
Yeah,
we have Laura.
Well, not only.
Sorry,
what?
No, go on.
Oh, I was gonna say, like, I mean, in this, so, like, they're filming there, so it's like part of the landscape, and they can't control that. But they even take it a step further, because there are episodes that, like, the plot centers on a mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're making the whole plot, like, revolve, like that one where, like, Laura, like, climbs up the mountain and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like you're making the whole plot, like, revolve around mountains that don't actually even exist. They're on a prairie.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of things you can point your finger at with the liberties that they took to tell the stories, but I don't know. I think
part of the fun. Part of the fun.
It really is. It's but we have Laura befriending the enemy. I mean, does she not remember all of the things that this young lady has put her through in life? Recording her crush, which is another love interest episode, which never went anywhere. I don't know. You know, remember the talking machine? Whatever happened to that boy?
Yeah. Well, actually, okay, so I guess I need to retract my earlier statement. I don't know. Maybe, so this isn't the first time Laura's felt this way?
Well, it went from
a
crush.
Although she seems a little bit more advanced with it, yeah.
It went from a crush to how can I step up my game to get the attention of this boy?
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's flat out changing herself, which, of course, is terrible, terrible.
Never works out.
It never works out. Not for the long term. So here we go. We have the meeting of the families.
Would you like some of my mom's apple pie?
Why are you offering?
That's a big piece of pie, though. It's like, what? Let me give you a quarter of a pie that you got for at lunchtime.
I wonder if that's the pie that Ma was making at the beginning of the episode.
I hope so. Wrapping in a
paper. How many pies do they go through?
They go through quite a lot of pies.
Well, just being selfish, really. You see, I'm doing research on this paper I'm going to write to get better grades like Mary. The fact is, I've been burning a lot of the midnight oil lately. Anyway, I'd like to ask you some questions on the subject.
What's the subject?
Great lovers through the ages, starting with Anthony and Cleopatra and ending up with Luke Sims and Nellie Olson.
Me and Luke?
Well, you were married.
For about 10 minutes.
Well, the important thing is you got him to ask you.
What a scandal, really, right? I mean, the whole town knows her business.
Yeah.
Laura wasn't there, you know, but somehow it got back to her.
I mean, it's a small town. That's how things go. I think that what's crazier is that, I mean, like, it is mentioned again. Like, she's bringing it up right now, but it's like in these episodes, there's always like these big things that happen. And then, like, next episode, it's like it never happened, you know? Like,
but sometimes we get the throwbacks. I mean, like, we have, like, when she brought it up to Laura, she loves bringing up bad relationships to people. I think that's a Laura trend.
I was going to say, in this episode, she keeps like, pointing out people's, like, faux pas with the relationships. Yeah.
I wonder. Now we have to look. We have to kind of look for this trait to go on and on. She seems to love the misery of bad relationships. For instance, in the haunted house, she goes and seeks out the wife who had died and gets all in his business. There must be other things. Laura's a misery monger. Who knew?
Yeah. She needs to learn to just let it go.
Yeah. It's that bow is a little too tight. She's rude.
Loosen the braids a bit.
Yeah. Loosen them just a little.
True enough. What do you want to know?
Well, how did you attract him?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? My natural attributes.
Like what?
Like my naturally curly hair and my good looks.
Yeah, natural.
My naturally curly hair.
Yeah, that's not natural.
those curls are like those, I don't know, they're called, from curlers, right? I mean, those are crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that actually is a wig, isn't it?
Oh, that's
true. Yeah, a very carefully curled wig. I mean, it's not natural.
No.
Ma says I'm beautiful, but I wouldn't go that far.
Neither would I.
What?
I mean, all moms think their kids are beautiful.
And my disposition. Sweet, unspoiled.
That's obvious.
Ungenkinger. Very important.
Now, this is another thing. We always see Harriet talking with her mouth full. So I guess
that's
another thing.
Yeah, that's a character trait of hers.
Yeah, and now it's Nellie's.
I can see that, too.
And, of course, a good figure helps.
I mean, she literally, like, sits up and sticks her chest out.
And yeah, she does. Yeah.
And Laura just, it's like, she's at eye level with her breasts. It's just like, this is probably the biggest stressful thing, I think, of all girls going through puberty. I would say that this is the number one thing. And it's, I thought that the way they dealt with it is both gentle and brutal at the same time for this episode. So
it is, which I think that things like that kind of are, though, for, you know, pubescent girls. And it's, you know.
But for her to just, like, stick out her chest like that, it's just so, like, I don't think that this scene would be created these days on a family television show. Not by, like, some girls, like, 17. Maybe. Who knows? There's a lot of weird things going on in TikTok and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Laura! Want to play baseball?
I can't.
Hey, Sam! Want to play baseball?
You betcha! I'm at the first base!
Now, that was a smart thing to do. Boys don't like girls who are always running around playing baseball. All those rough games. Half the time, you don't even smell like a girl. You're either sweaty or smelling of fish.
Well, I sweat a lot and I fish a lot.
Well, you should cover it up. Use a scent that's seductive.
Seductive?
Something that lures men. Like flies to molasses.
Aha.
What you need is some perfume.
Well, my ma's got some, but it's awful expensive.
Of course it is. The best thing for you is toilet water.
Nellie Olson, what a rotten thing to say.
Good punchline. I mean, she just kind of storms off.
Yeah, I love that all of their metaphors for smelling good have to do with flies. Like, flies attracted to this.
This also, in this particular episode, is another not understanding French. Because we also find this in the restaurant, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, and we know that the Ingalls family, they don't ever have good experiences with French, right? Like, when Laura has to try to teach it. Yeah, or restaurants, or the city, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, unless it's Ma making a pie, things are pretty much derailing for the Ingalls, I think. We're in Sleepy Eye. This is the big city of Sleepy Eye. And the guys who got there early are kind of ribbing Jonathan and Charles.
Now, you guys stopped for dinner? Yeah.
It's a little bit of a visual scene, but I'm just going to let it play out.
Who allowed to give us a better run for money? Green hands. Not much know-how. You know, we could be neighborly and help them unload.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Let's open this up and have a look.
All right, sir.
Well, I guess I can just skip this and save 30 seconds. They open up their barrel, which has china in it, and it's all broken.
Mm-hmm.
Then they open up the barrel that the Garvey Ingalls Freight Company brought, and it's all intact. So they get the contract.
It seemingly isn't wrapped with anything. He just pulls the plate out of Jonathan's barrel, and it's like right. There's no packaging.
It's like in, I don't even know what, it, like, it looks like coconut husk or something. It's probably hay or something.
Yeah.
I don't think they would have coconuts in Minnesota. Not at this period of time.
No bubble wrap.
No bubble wrap. They have to invent it. Laura discovers that if she were to put on a little perfume, it would be a good idea. So she triples it up. She puts like a handful of perfume on. And it's just, I don't know. Maybe we've all made this mistake as a kid, as youngins. But so Laura is behind the bushes and she is ready to get her first order of protection, I think. Yeah. She's really stalking Jimmy right here. I mean, she'd be pretty good at jumping people or something like that.
Yeah, and like an alternate Little House universe, that's what she would do.
Yeah, well, not even alternate. You know, when we learn of Almanzo's past, I mean, what does she do to that poor blonde girl?
Ah, that's true. She has a bit of a crazy streak.
Well, a bit of one, yeah. It's always happened right around this one little area. They should really do a kind of a soil sample test of of that bridge, of the water that's under that bridge. I want a full tox screen.
Analysis.
Yeah. Yeah. But all right, here we go.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Laura. Did you see Sam hit that home run yesterday?
Lucky hit.
Lucky my eye. Didn't you see her beat out that throw to home?
You know, she's like a quill.
Yeah. She's, yeah, what? I know. What is that? Like, I've never seen her with that before.
Yeah, like, what is... Yeah, like, what is that? It's like, is this like a fancy quill? Oh, my God.
She's a real hot prospect.
For what?
For the baseball
team.
I
love that line.
A hot prospect. It's, like, it's such a weird thing to say.
I mean, right, and then, like, when Laura's like, for what? It's like, I was watching this last night with my husband, and we both looked at each other like, she has a point. I mean, playing baseball in, like, the schoolyard? I mean, this isn't, like, MLB or whatever.
Right, like, she has hips for rearing babies. Like, what? She's a hot prospect. But, yeah, very, very, It's a very modern comment as well. Like, it's something that I think that people would say in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that they say that you can tell that the show was filmed in the 70s.
Does it sound like a helicopter's in the background?
I hear, like, a very slight buzzing if I really listen for it, but I wouldn't describe it as a helicopter.
My house is surrounded now. It just started out as a little bit of construction. Now they're on two sides of my house.
They're like, revamping the whole neighborhood.
Oh, my God. They're cutting huge holes in the street that they just replaced. Oh, all right.
Crazy.
So I'm going to try to ignore it. But I'd hear that clip goes on.
What's that smell?
You noticed it?
Noticed it? I can't help it. It stinks.
Oh.
Oh. Sure does. Wonder what it can be.
Probably a skunk or even a dead rat.
That's what every woman wants to hear. That your perfume smells like a rat.
This Jimmy has all the charming lines.
Like, where'd you grow up on a farm? In a barn? So poor Laura. But Laura's not the only person who has a broken heart in this. We get a kind of an emotional Caroline. She's just laying in bed at night.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably like 9.
I know.
And
I mean, I think that she's actually crying because she didn't drink enough coffee before bed.
Yeah. That's
keeping
it.
Her up.
She's crying because they ran out of coffee. They have to go into town and get coffee the next day. But yeah, she hears the wagon pull up, but she's just sitting there kind of, I don't know, get to sleep. Don't you get up at 3 in the morning to make bread? Like, I don't understand. Don't you have pies to make? But
that her acting is very good in this scene, though. I mean,
I like this Caroline.
The emotional side of her, and she really, like, nails it.
And she's, you know, when you really put it all out there, Charles is her best friend, and Caroline is his best friend. So she misses her best friend and her soulmate. And it's sad, you know. And weeks have gone by.
It's sad, and it's sweet, and, yeah, all that.
But he comes home in the middle of the night. It's about 8:45. And here
hey, Caroline, where's the coffee?
Exactly.
We won. Well, don't you hear me? We got the contract.
She looks like she's going to vomit. It's so great. Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. I can have another bottle of perfume.
Yeah, because Laura used all mine.
The house stinks.
Oh, Charles, congratulations.
Oh, so glad you're home. I missed you so.
Oh, so good to be home. Hey, but now we start. I mean, now the work starts. All we came home was to tell you girls the good news, get a change of clothes and a good hot meal. How are the children doing?
Fine.
Good, good.
Except Laura, I'm a little bit worried about her. She hasn't been herself lately.
Charles is all limpy Magoo. It's like, how are you going? Like, oh, my God. I don't know what's going on.
How is he working this hard? It's crazy.
And I always like the Caroline with the hair down. You know, maybe there's a Laura type of thing there going on. But I always think she looks so much younger with the hair down. It's crazy.
Yeah, or she does. I mean, like, when she has it up, I mean, she does look very matronly.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, well, that kind of is her character, right? That she's a mother, but
it's not very proper, I guess, to have it down all the time, like Mary. Mm-hmm.
She does
say?
Have gorgeous hair, though.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
And it's all feathered and layered. not exactly what they would have had in 1878. But nonetheless, nonetheless, she went to the Plum Creek Salon and got her hair done.
Got her nails done while she was there, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where Mary goes, right?
Yeah. They go together, actually. I think it's like their girls' day out.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they bring Carrie. Laura's not really much into it.
Look, if it's schoolwork, I'll talk to her about it.
As a matter of fact, her schoolwork's never been better.
Oh, well, it's probably just spring fever then. Nothing to worry about.
Now, isn't spring fever... I've always associated spring fever to crushes. Like, you know, that type of thing. Where it... I could be wrong, though. I mean, it's... I just don't know if... What would you say spring fever is?
So I always thought spring fever was like when it would be like the winter and you were like sick of winter and you're just like, I want it to be spring. Like, that's how I've always heard it used anyway. Like, when winter just keeps going on and yeah. you're, like, stuck inside. And you're just like, I want it to be warm. I, like, want summer. I want to be able to, like, go do stuff.
That's how it means something else for different people, maybe.
Yeah.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't know.
I suppose.
Yeah, I can't believe we got this contract.
What time do you leave?
That morning, first light.
Well, then I better get you supper.
Sounds good.
Do something. You don't do anything productive. Sitting around crying all day.
Where's my food and my coffee, woman?
Exactly. Throw some popcorn on there while you're at it.
Yeah.
So they're all talking. They're all kind of... Everybody's best friend is Pa. He's there. There's a missing element to the family, I think. And even Mary's starting to notice it. She's afraid Gil Gerard's going to show up and say, I'm your Pa now.
You had mentioned earlier when we began recording this episode, like, who's going to take care of the farm when he's gone all the time. And I was sort of thinking about it, and it is weird that they don't have someone else come in, because in other episodes when Pa's gone, like when he does the furniture, for example,
yeah,
we have the person that they hire to take care of the farm. And then when he's gone with, like, the Gil Gerard thing, it's like they usually do hire somebody to come in when he's gone. So it's like, who is doing all the work in this episode?
Yeah, there's not too many menfolk either in this episode.
Yeah, and this is before they started adopting all the kids and everything who could take up the slack.
It's very strange.
Pa, how long do you think Pa'll be gone?
I don't know, Mary.
I liked it better the way it was, Ma. When we were all here. Together.
To tell you the truth, Mary, so did I.
Oh. So it's all very sad, but the conversation quickly goes into a woman's figure. So this conversation, I would imagine that this would be a very common conversation between two sisters. I'm not a sister, so I have sisters, but I never had this conversation.
Well, I think either between sisters or between, you know, good female friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whoops, I didn't get to the part yet. Sorry. I'm just playing this whole thing. They're walking to school, Carrie, Laura, and Mary, and just like in the Christmas episode, Laura just wants 2 minutes alone with Mary. Except not with Nels.
Oh, you go on, Carrie. We'll catch up. What's the matter with you?
Just about everything.
Well, like what?
Like, when am I going to get some bumps?
Bumps?
You know.
Oh.
You've got them. Even Nellie Olson's got them. And that Sam. She's really got them.
Well... Look, Laura, everybody's not the same. Besides, it's really not important.
Well, maybe not to you, but I think it is to Jimmy Hill.
There's really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Or is there, as she looks at her shiny red apple?
Yeah, but she somehow acquires a second one. Where did that come from?
You don't want to
know.
Did
she steal Carrie's or something?
Exactly. But I have nothing to eat! Have my pie for lunch.
Shut up, Carrie.
Yeah, shut up, Carrie. We're not really sure. If you're watching this for the very first time, you're like, what is even going on? So Laura sticks that apple and another apple. Is it possible she cut the apple in half and put it both in there? But that'd be small bumps. But she puts the no, because the apple does fall out of her.
Right, and it is spoiler. A whole apple. Yeah.
So Laura walks in. It's kind of like one of these commercials where the buxom blonde walks in, and everybody turns and looks, except it doesn't exactly go that way.
Which, by the way, I would like to point out that while all the kids are laughing, you see Jimmy just looks horrified. Like, he has this look on his face, like...
He's like, I hate girls.
I hate bumps.
Right, he has a crush on Willie. He might. They're all eyes are on her, and she has such a big smile. This had to be a very tough scene to shoot, I think. This.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. This had to be a very weird scene to even bring up. Like, hey, sit down. We have to have a talk about this next scene.
Yeah, it's so cringy, and it's like uncomfortable to watch. Like, I just the whole time I'm like,
But if this had happened in your class or my class, we would probably at least I would be one of the idiots cracking up laughing. Sorry.
Well, that's the thing, and then even like last night when we were watching this, and my husband was like, I mean, what does she expect the kids to do? Like, they're going to, like, right, be making fun of her. You know, it's like, yeah, that totally is how it would go down. But it's just so cringy.
It's terrible. It's trying to find a cheap solution to something that's not even really a problem.
Right. So
here's that scene. Even Mary's like, oh, Jesus Christ, what did this kid do? Like, oh, my God, just, you know... Just put hay in there and do something, not an apple. Yeah, but you're right. Jimmy's like mortified. He's like, oh.
Like he looks like he just saw like the most like horrifyingly disgusting thing he's ever seen. Yes.
All right, class, settle down. And we're going to start with arithmetic this morning. And the first problem is 23 into 4,675.
Boring. Like, holy cow, that's boring.
Dude, every time they do a math problem on this show, it, like, makes my head explode with, like, these huge numbers that they're doing.
Yeah, I think it's 22. Well, did they use... I'm not going to go into it right now. I think it's 22 point something. But nonetheless, I hate this kind of... I hate the math. I hate the pressure of being in front of a class and having to do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cruel. And the thing that is really interesting here is out of all of the people, there's maybe, 18 students, she chooses the absolute worst person to choose to come up and talk about this.
And how does she not notice it? Because everybody's laughing and... She just is like, oh, Laura, come up and do some math.
She's kind of covering it at first, but then it's like, what?
But she's not like, oh, why is everybody laughing? Like, let's get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, she's just like, shut up! That's probably what in real life Charlotte Stewart would do. It's like, just shut up!
Laura.
See, you have cramps. That's my sexist comment. My second, probably, or third of the episode. So if I'm saying anything that offends anybody, I'm sorry. I'm just making jokes. Jeez. She does look nice, though, the bow in her hair and everything. And it's just, those apples aren't working for you, really.
Nope.
And she goes and goes
23 goes into 46 two times. 2 times 3 is 6. And 2 times 4 is 4.
Miss Beetle sees...
6 take away 6 is 0.
And it falls out and bounces on the floor. Miss Beetle notices that something is wrong, of course, and says that... Even Carrie's laughing.
I mean, Miss Beetle, though, classic Miss Beetle, like, noticing a little bit too late. Yeah. Or, like, you know, realizing that there's a problem a little too late. But this is the same teacher that sent the kids out into a blizzard.
Mary should have gotten up and said, I'll do it, Miss Beetle. But no.
Yeah, why doesn't she speak up? Like, that actually seems more...
I have my opinions.
Mary is so weird in this episode. I feel like in an earlier episode, Mary would have intervened.
Yeah, she would have said, no, I'll do it, Miss Beetle. And then she, even if they added that into it as a line, it would have been, Miss Beetle will go, no, it's Laura. You, of course you know this.
Yeah.
You know, you're a genius, Mary. Where are your glasses,
Mary? Or like
Mary?
Laura could have been like, I'll just do it from my seat or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Meh.
But yeah, even Carrie is laughing. And turning and laughing at people. You know, it's way to support your sister.
She's having the best time. Like, she's like, it's about time, Laura.
Exactly. You shouldn't have taken my apple.
Laura, don't you have to go to the outhouse?
Yes, ma'am, I should.
And she goes out the front of the school. That's not the way to the outhouse, last I checked. But they cut this little scene out, but there is a little scene where Carrie runs up and gets the apple. I'm just kidding. That would be pretty awesome.
I'm so hungry. I need my apple.
I want my apple back.
No one ever saves any pie for me.
Right. It's like, it's always given to the dog. I have to, like, wrestle with, I think it, in this one it's Bandit. Food. I think Bandit's in this one. So Bandit and her have to, like, fight over pie.
Yeah.
So, the Garvey and Olson and Ingalls Freight Company shows up 4 hours early.
David, well, haven't seen you two for quite a spell.
Yeah, about three weeks.
3 weeks and 2 days.
We've been shuttling between New Elm and Mankato.
All right, boys, unload this one next. Hop to it.
As close as we've been to home since we've been freighting regular.
Do you notice Charles has this voice going on a lot in this episode?
It's insane.
Like he's constantly like stretching and waking up.
Yeah, it's because he's in pain. He's trying to cope with it. Also, yeah. Did you notice he has like a little bit of like the 5 o'clock shadow going on, it looked like?
I have to look. Well, it would make sense because it took 3 days to get there.
Yeah.
It took three days to go 40 miles. Should have just walked. Jeez.
4 hours ahead of schedule.
Yeah, we got some time coming. We're going to take a couple of days and visit with our families while they still remember us.
Pa doesn't really ever grow a beard except for the James 12 episode, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's always nice to see them change it up. But yeah, Jonathan sports that beard.
Yeah. Yeah, we never see him without it. And we never see Mr. Edwards without it. I think
we've even seen Mr. Olson with a little bit of a scraggle.
Yeah.
I have to look for it. It'll be a coffee table book. The much facial hair of Little House on the Prairie.
Sorry,
little facial hair on the prairie.
Exactly.
This trip.
Stubble on the prairie.
Oh, now, come on, Mr. Perkin.
Hold on before you start yelling. Got some good news for you. Big news.
Like what?
Well, like the boss is very pleased with you two. You're both hardworking and dependable. You've done a real good job, and he wants to see to it that you do a whole lot better. He says he'll advance you some money so you can get another wagon and team and hire two more men.
So they're expanding. I mean, this is a big deal in my eyes. And if anything, this would make their lives a little bit easier. You know, you're getting you're adding staff to do the work.
So like they wouldn't maybe be gone all the time
right.
as much or yeah.
So it seems kind of strange that I'm getting a buzzing. I'm going to fix it in the next clip. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting that they're getting people to invest in them, which is kind of their goal, really, right? Mm-hmm. They decide to celebrate. And I think this falls into the trend of whenever they have money, they spend it. You know, especially Garvey. Garvey's always spending money on telephones, getting himself in trouble, getting his wife in trouble.
Yeah, that's true. It's like maybe if they just saved up a little bit when they had the money, they wouldn't be having these hard times all the time.
And didn't he sell his team and then go and spend all the money on
like
gifts?
A hat for Alice. Yeah.
And Charles is just spending money like it's water. But so what do? They decide to go into a very fancy French restaurant. And it comes along with the toilet water comment before from not understanding it to this scene.
Oh, bonsoir, monsieur. François is at your service.
How are you?
Table for two?
That's what we want. There's two of us.
Please follow me. Please follow me. This is the best table in the whole house, yes.
They love to push the hick aspect of them when they are nothing like this, really.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, there's two of us.
Well, yeah, we want that for two. And it's funny how they kind of sit next to each other, like they're on a like date or something.
Please.
Oh, thank you.
Charles practically falls onto that chair.
His leg is about to fall off.
Oh, my God. Point. Yeah.
Hello? Ah, yes. Oh, you?
Hey, man.
So, yeah, they get the menus and they're looking, like, so happy that they're going to order some food that's really expensive. I mean, this is so not characteristic of them. And I know we recorded the Christmas episode just a few days ago. And we were talking about alcohol on the show. And this was one of the times where I remembered them ordering wine. You have a little bit of a story about the kind of wine. So I'm going to play some of that. But here's some of the ordering chatter. Kind of like what is on the menu and what, you know, it's not exactly apple pies, steaks, and potatoes.
Expensive, too.
Well, there's so much stuff I can't make up my mind.
Charles, I can't read none of these words. It must be in that Italian.
No, no, I don't think that's Italian. I think it's French. You know, there's a lot of French restaurants. I guess what they say.
Now, were there a lot of French restaurants? Was there,
like one of the things I want to bring up that I kind of have my doubts about that. I mean, granted, in the region, like the, you know, Great Lakes region, there was French influence, you know, with, like, the fur trade and, you know, the alliances with, like, the French and the Native Americans. And there are a number of cities in the region that have names that are derived from French, like not a lot, but they're here and there. But the way that they portray Sleepy Eye in general, I mean, so it's like the city, right? And it's like they have like the railroad there. So obviously it's like a lot more happened than Walnut Grove would be. There'd be like, you know, a lot of transient stuff going on with the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I always wonder, people who are watching the show that have never been to Sleepy Eye and don't know what it's like what they think it's like based on how they portray it in the show, because I would be shocked. I would be honestly shocked to find that there had ever been a French restaurant here. I mean, even like now, there's really not many places to go to eat without actually like leaving town.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just so weird that when they're there, it's just like, I mean, like, sure, you have the railroad, you have a saloon or two, places to eat, sure. But I'm like, I just don't know if I really believe that it was cultured enough, you know, to have foreign restaurants.
And yeah. Well, it's certainly not an Italian restaurant. so
here's do you even know where you're eating, you idiot?
But they do. They order a bunch of stuff. They're not really 100% sure. They're on kind of a food adventure. They're becoming foodies. And they ask, he basically, Francois says you should have a bottle of our finest house wine. I'm not really sure what he refers to.
And, Sleepy Eye Red.
Yeah, and this is the scene where he brings it to them. I want to hear what that is.
Business, we'll be eating like this maybe once, twice a month.
Yeah, pretty quick we'll be buying one of them big houses, maybe even living in the city.
Sleepy Eye Red 78. An unpretentious little wine, but playful, yes.
So what is that? What is Sleepy Eye Red?
Well, I mean, so what I'm assuming is that it's probably just some, like a wine. I don't know,
like a locally bottled red wine.
But yeah, it's probably just like a red table wine. But the fact that they just call it Sleepy Eye Red, I mean, like my husband and I thought it was hilarious. Like we watched this episode and he said that, and I like looked at my husband and he was just like, looked back at me and he's like, yeah, he said Sleepy Eye Red. So it's like, along with like the French restaurant, which is like, I don't really know if I believe that this would have been realistic for them to have back then. I mean, to my knowledge, which I didn't do like tons of digging or anything, but to my knowledge, there's never been a winery in Sleepy Eye.
What about a brewery? Is there anything like that going on?
There actually is a brewery in Sleepy Eye that just opened, like, in the last year or two.
But here's another question. Grapes don't grow there in Minnesota. It's not, like, something... I mean, you can grow them, I guess, but it's not something that is... they're well-known for.
Well, I mean, there are some wineries, and there are some... I would say if you drive, like, 45 minutes to an hour away from Sleepy Eye, there would be a couple of wineries. But yeah, it's not like the state is known for like their great grape growing.
Yeah, I'm wondering just, like, how really historical just... that is, you know. Another thing is this is a French restaurant and this is, you know, a domestic wine.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing, too. Like, if you were going to this fancy restaurant, and I would think that anybody who is like, I want to have some good wine, I mean, it wouldn't be domestic anything, at this point at least, especially given their location.
Whoops. Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where it's very strange, and French wines were very popular in the late 19th century as well. They were known as something that's very, very elitist. So,
mm-hmm.
Like actual champagne from the town of Champagne.
Champagne region.
Yeah. Or Champagne region, not the town of Champagne, but there might be a town named Champagne. Not 100% sure though. They're talking about the red, and he's going to pour him some. And he pours him just a small.
Would you care to taste it?
Well, that's what I ordered it for. Fill it up. I don't want to play with it. I want to drink it.
So
I love that.
The only maybe twice in my life have I been in restaurants that do this type of thing. And it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world to me.
It's
anyway.
So uncomfortable. And, we've had it happen a few times, like at a restaurant or, you know, a wine bar or something, if we get a bottle. But I have this specific memory of a few years ago, we went out of town for our anniversary, and we're staying at this hotel in Asheville, North Carolina. And not like it's like a super fancy hotel or whatever, but it was like, had some decent amenities, and there was like a restaurant and stuff. And we're just eating at the restaurant at the hotel. And we ordered a bottle of wine, and it was, it was probably like, maybe the second cheapest bottle on the menu, you know? So, like, we're not spending, like, big bucks on the wine.
Right. You're there to have a glass of regular wine. You're not there to have an, a flavor experience with hints of cherry.
The waiter comes over and does this, like, really elaborate presentation of the bottle.
God. Like to a
the
point sommelier's? Where I'm like, oh, my God.
Is he being sarcastic? Because I'm like, we ordered cheap wine. Like, is this guy just, like, trying to mess with us?
Right.
And then he pours, like, he's like, who wants to taste it? And it's just sort of awkward because it's like, I don't know, whatever. And then he pours a little bit. And it's just like, take a sip. And it's like, yep, that is wine. Like, just give us the wine.
Yeah, it's kind of like, do you have a straw? But...
get some ice for this, please.
Yeah, I mean, I've made my own wine. It's something that I haven't done in a while, but I made my own Pinot Noir and different reds. I'm not much of a drinker anymore at all. But when, I do like a very specific wine, but the whole aspect of a sommelier is such a scam. There's a great documentary on Netflix. It might still be there. I think it's just called SOM, like S-O-M. And it's basically about the sommelier test and how it's just, like, complete horse crap.
Yeah. I've never seen that, but I should check it out because I would like it.
Open
like,
a bottle of wine and watch it.
Yeah, like, we do like wine and, like, you know, we like to drink wine. Like, we like visiting wineries and stuff. Yeah. But it's, like, their whole act around it and the way they describe it, you're kind of like, you're sort of just... I mean, like, you're describing it in a way that people want to hear it, which is, like, there are studies to back up that if they... They can take white wine and put, like, food coloring in it.
Which is what they do.
Yeah, and then if they describe it in terms of, like, how you'd expect, you know, a Cabernet or something to taste,
like, back sweetening and stuff like that and, like, all of this stuff where there's artificial sweeteners. And it's just – do you have a favorite wine?
I like dry red wines. Yeah, so I usually drink, like, Cabernet or Merlot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Pinot Noir I have that is still, it needs to be bottled, is probably the driest red wine that I've ever made. But it has like a little bit of spice to it, which I like. It's even though it's a Pinot Noir, it to me it tastes more like a Chilean wine, those are my favorite wines, a Chilean dry and spicy. So those are my favorite. But if I had to choose one off the shelf, the Coppola Vineyards make a really amazing Cabernet Sauvignon. So, it comes in a gold net thing, like a mesh, and it's not an expensive wine. It's less than $15, but it's a nice thing to give somebody if you're just going to give them a basic, if you're bringing a bottle of wine, but you don't want to bring the $5 bottle of Swill. you want to bring the $15 bottle of Swill, which is a little bit better. But that one's a really, it's actually a pretty decent wine. So anyway, so that's it's the black label. Actually, no, it might be the blue label. No, I don't remember. We'll look for it. It's a Cabernet Sauvignon with a gold mesh.
I'll check it out.
All right. But that's not what they ordered.
they had the sleepy eye red.
They had the sleepy eye red. Now, Jonathan and Charles have a little bit of wine go right to their head because they start staring at people.
So creepy.
It is like, creepy.
Yet another cringe moment in this episode. Like, I think it's a great episode, but like everybody's doing cringy stuff all the time.
I mean, Charles is looking at this little girl drink milk. You know, it's just like...
Like, you'd be arrested for that.
Take a picture, it'll last longer. Jeez. So their food finally comes, and, you know, they're sauced up already a little bit, I think. You know, staring at these little girls and boys.
So weird.
And they get a plate of escargot, which I like escargot. I don't love it. It's not my favorite thing, but, you know, how can you not like it? You cover things with enough garlic, it tastes good, right? But here we go. This is Jonathan's reaction. They even served it with an escargot fork, which is pretty interesting.
Fancy.
Them snails.
Yes, of course. Escargot.
I should break your face.
Charles, if this is the way the rich eat, I'd rather be poor.
Me too.
Cancel them dinners.
But monsieur,
he canceled them!
Ah.
Hey, listen, you know, if we leave right now, we can be home before first light.
What are we waiting for?
Not these snails, that's for sure.
Hey, you guys have a little bit of stuff to pay for.
Well, yeah, they're just, I think that maybe the wine did go to their head. I mean, Pa's an angry drunk. He's like flipping out on the guy.
He doesn't even feel his foot anymore.
Yeah, and then Jonathan's just stealing the wine. I mean, what is that?
So Charles, they take the red eye back to Sleepy Eye, and they end up back at the house, and Ma's a little bit of a negative Nelly, I think, right off the bat, but things change up pretty quickly.
This is a surprise.
Well, it's kind of a surprise to me, too.
It's just an overnight stay.
That's what I want to talk to you about.
You feel like they've got a divorce and they're getting back together at this scene, right? I mean, it feels like they were having marital issues or something. And maybe this would have led to marital issues, but really feels like.
And I mean, really, they're coming back from a long period of time. And meanwhile, like a couple of months where they really have communicated very little. I mean, because it's not like they're able at this point to just like call each other on the phone or like there's no texting, there's no email. I mean, like they basically haven't really been talking. Other than, I don't know. So, I mean, I think Ma is maybe like a little bit bitter about it.
Oh,
you know, like she's
absolutely
sad and just,
And we don't know what Alice's opinion is, but, they don't seem to communicate.
We never see her. Yeah.
You think Ma would be, you know, Alice's backbone and vice versa, but no, maybe they are.
They didn't have enough time to have three storylines in this.
It's true. There's always time, but, here we go.
I'm listening.
That is me and Jonathan. We gave him back the freighting contract. We decided we didn't want to take any more. I know it's giving up a lot of money. If you're not too upset about it.
I'd like to hear why.
We just talked it over, and we decided we didn't want to run a big freighting company. We're living in a big house, a bunch of fancy restaurants.
Ugh, sounds terrible. We
just wanted to be what we are, that's all.
What's that, Charles?
Poor. That's what we wanted to be. Is
poor farmers.
The working class.
Well, you're a husband, for one thing, and
That's one
father
thing.
Of my children. I'm.
That's it. Just too?
For starters. Yeah, I miss you. I'd like to
starters. Just,
what?
I said just for starters. That's just yeah. for starters.
Just for starters, your husband, then a father, and then what? Then a broke guy. That the whole town. Why didn't they ever?
Be it once in a while.
What?
Just a stinky broke guy.
Yeah.
Just not cut out for it, I'm sorry.
Oh, you great big galoot. That is the grandest thing you ever said to me.
I tried to do a quick search of this. I couldn't find enough historical connection to the galoot.
Loot.
Or how it's spelled, like you big galoot. I always thought it was connected to the 1940s or 50s, but I'll look deeper.
Oh. I just couldn't do it. I missed you.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So, you know, it's exactly what Caroline wanted to hear, which, you know, hey, sometimes you're this synchronicity. And everything's working out. Mary's happy. Everybody, almost everybody seems happy at this point. But the apple, the apple bandit, the bumpy apples.
I just tried to Google, like when she calls him a big loot, I just tried Googling it and I just got a bunch of stuff that popped up for Big Lots. But I don't know. Oh my God.
At your home? Me too!
Well, and that makes it unanimous, huh? I'll tell you something else.
You're leaving out one.
Oh,
Pop! How's it unanimous if you're missing an entire family member?
Yeah, right? We don't care what she has to say about it.
Well, he's a dopey farmer. What do you want?
Where's your sister?
She says she's never going to go to school again.
Oh.
Well, what's this all about?
Well, that's something you missed while you were away, Charles.
Well, now that I'm back, I'll go up and talk to her.
Charles... Let me take care of it, please.
Sure.
Sure, I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with her brattiness.
Girl problems.
So, yeah, she goes up to the loft, Caroline, and she's like, let's talk. Nobody can hear us when we're upstairs. They can probably hear them better when they're up, when they're talking up there.
What's this I hear about never going to school again?
I can't, Ma. I made a fool out of myself yesterday.
I quite agree.
You do?
Yes. Anybody who pretends to be anybody else is just plain downright silly.
Well, I just want other people to need help, to like me.
Before they can, you have to like yourself. That's the most important thing of all. We have to be, to become what God intended. If he went to all the trouble to make a Laura Ingalls, he certainly wouldn't want her to act like anybody else. God must like Laura Ingalls an awful lot. So why shouldn't you?
Thought about it that way.
Well, now that you have, I want you to get up and get dressed for school. And I expect you to conduct yourself like Laura Ingalls, not some poor imitation of somebody else.
Wow. Oh, Ma.
Yeah, it's nice. That's a nice scene between
Good advice.
Them.
Good advice. Mm-hmm. But that brings us to the schoolyard where the real action is happening. And it's time for Laura to be Laura, right? And I don't know, the meeting of Sam and Laura, this is too like oil and water, I think.
Hi, Laura, want to play?
Sure. Come on, let's play ball.
You want to be up first?
Yeah.
I'm going to knock you on your tail, Ingalls, with my flying fastball.
Put the ball where your mouth is, Sam.
Put the ball where your mouth is. The hell does that mean?
What does that mean? What are you getting at?
I don't know. It's starting to get strange, but.
Yeah.
So So Laura hits the home run, hits the puck right out of the park. I don't know sports. So
when she hits the ball, does it even make any noise?
No. What are they really hitting? They're hitting like a rag tied with a rubber band or something. Like a piece of leather.
Or something at least. I don't know.
I mean, they're not really, it's a softball, I guess. It's like a leather ball. So I don't think it would make too big of a sound. Probably be cork with wrapped in leather. But
yeah, so it's like a little thud kind of, yeah.
So we have a little bit of a different ending here. We have Mary not surrounded by a bunch of boys, and we have Laura walking with Jimmy, I think.
Yeah, Jimmy. Jimmy Hill.
You ever carry Samantha's books home?
Nah, she carried mine. I didn't want her to mind you, but she's kind of a bully. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Wait, you've got my books.
Uh-oh.
Table's about to turn.
That's the move. Their eyes meet. Laura all of a sudden has her hair all did, like she went to the... to the nail salon and got her hair done. This music is so sweeping. It's so like, and they have a little kiss. Amazing.
Champ, want to go fishing Saturday?
Sure. I'll bring the worms.
It's a deal. Laura! I didn't think it was yucky.
Me neither.
Aw.
And we never see Jimmy again.
No, and this kid, good looking kid, right? I mean, this is like, you know, even his Buster Brown haircut, he's able to elevate himself from that dopey haircut.
Yeah, and he was, I thought, a decent actor. I mean, he pulled off the role pretty well. Yeah,
I thought it was kind of, but I don't see him doing very much outside of this, right? I mean, same thing with Samantha Higgins, played by Celie Ann Thuman. She did a couple, like, TV specials. And Chris Peterson played Jimmy Hill. But not much of anything. I mean, the last thing he did here was... Chips. He played Chad in 1983.
Yeah, and like neither one of those, Chris Peterson or that Celie Ann, whatever her name was, they don't even have like pictures on IMDb, which is kind of rare.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but there is one little interesting movie that he's in that I really want to look up now, which maybe you've heard of. It's called The Little Dragons. It's a karate movie from 1979.
I think I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, I'm going to look it up. He plays Zach, and the tagline is Karate Kids to the Rescue.
Yeah.
I'm looking that up. But yeah, he was in all like those basic CBS Afternoon Playhouse, The Incredible Hulk, Quincy, MASH. And then it looks like he just kind of gave up on it all when he was 20.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It seems like there's a lot of people that are in this show that kind of are like that, though.
Yeah, they're kind of... They come and they go.
Mm-hmm.
They're big careers. They seem like they're really kind of doing something, and then they kind of vanish. But
Can't get too attached.
Kelly, I want to thank you so much for putting up with all of these technical difficulties of interruptions. I do apologize for stealing your entire morning and afternoon, but I really am happy. I'm happy it worked out. Kelly Milky, this isn't going to be out until the new year. So you have several of these ornaments that you're creating. Are you looking to expand any of these? Because I think it would be a good idea to create something that isn't seasonal. That's all.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't, I guess, really thought far enough ahead for that. Kind of when I started doing it, it was just transitioning into the season where people would be looking for Christmas stuff. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I will expand it. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. But, where can people find the stuff that you're working on?
I have a shop on Etsy. It's called Handcraft Little House.
I'll put a link to it in the show notes.
Kelly, awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting Walnut Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast.